Thank you. I'm glad
to see you today, and I hope that this Bible study is a blessing to you today. I hope that you'll get your Bible and turn with us to the passages as we make a reference to them. I want you to remember that we have been discussing rightly dividing the word of truth, and the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there's a lot of controversy about rightly dividing the word of truth, but as we said in programs in the past, I believe with all my heart that the key of knowledge, the key for understanding the Scripture, is dispensational truth. And there could be no dispensational truth without dividing the word of truth. And so we believe in rightly dividing. We believe that it can be, that the Scripture, if it can be rightly divided, it could just as well be wrongly divided. Now, there's some things about this that I want you to notice. Number one, I want you to notice that Timothy had the Scriptures. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and notice in verse 14, 2 Timothy 3:14, the Bible says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Then Timothy had the Holy Scriptures, and you must keep in mind that when Timothy read this letter, that is 2 Timothy, he had the last letter written by the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote 13 epistles, and 2 Timothy is the last epistle that Paul had written to him, and he said at that time that you've known the Holy Scriptures. Therefore, Timothy certainly had the Scriptures at that time. Notice something else about the passage. All the Scripture that Timothy had was equally inspired. Now, you must understand my reasoning for saying this. You see, there are people today that tell me, I'll be talking to them, and I'll say that Paul said, be ye followers of me, and I've had them to sarcastically remark that they believe in following Jesus. But you'll notice that Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. But sometimes they imply that part of the Scripture is more inspired than the other. For instance, if I was to put on the board up here, and I'll say that back here represents Genesis. And so I follow a line through here, and I'll say that's Genesis through Malachi, which we call Old Testament Scriptures. All right, then comes John the Baptist, and in your Bible, from there you'll have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the crucifixion of Jesus as of there. Now, there's an implication by some people that that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is more inspired than Paul's epistles. In other words, that if they had to depend upon real truth being in Paul's letters as compared to being in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they would take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John every time over Paul's epistles. What I want to emphasize is the fact that all of the Scripture that Timothy had was equally inspired. None of it was more inspired than anything else. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I believe that verse means what it says. I know there are those today that accuse me of being a hyper-dispensationalist or some other name such as that, and they say that I do not believe all of the Scriptures. I've had people come to me and tell me that they had heard others say that E.C. Moore doesn't believe all of the Scriptures. Well, I want you to understand here and now, I believe all of the Scripture is equally inspired of Almighty God. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 1, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, Peter said, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the coming, the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now, what he's referring to is Peter, James, and John were called into the Mount with Jesus, and he was transfigured before them, and Moses and Elijah appeared there. You'll find this in Matthew chapter 17. And Peter heard Jesus discuss with Moses and Elijah the fact that he was going to die and so forth. Now, that is called the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, Peter said, "I was there in the Mount." He said, "When I make known to you the power and coming of the Lord, I was an eyewitness of that majesty. I was there and I saw him with my very eyes. And I heard that voice from heaven when it said, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" Now look in verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Peter, in effect, is saying that even though I saw the Lord transfigured with my very eyes, I saw Moses and Elijah stand there with him, I heard the voice of Almighty God from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," and even though I saw it and heard it, we have something more sure than that. We have the word of prophecy, for the word of prophecy came not by the will of man. It came as holy men of God spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I want to emphasize the fact that Timothy had the Scriptures. He had all the Scriptures, and the Scriptures that he had were equally inspired. Therefore, I cannot trust the inspiration of Matthew through John more than Genesis. I cannot trust Genesis' inspiration more than Revelation. I cannot trust Paul's epistles inspired more than any other. All Scripture is equally inspired of God, for holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Notice something else about this. Timothy had the Scriptures. They were all equally inspired. And yet, Timothy is told to divide the truth. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Well, then, if all Scripture is inspired of God, and the Bible says that it is, and if Timothy is told to divide the Scripture, then there must be a portion of the Scripture, even though equally inspired with all other Scripture, has truth to Timothy that the rest of the Scripture does not have to him. And that is absolutely true, for the Bible is very clear. We must divide due to the fact that all truth is not to us. In Romans, as we've shown before, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Then it is clear that all of the Bible is written for our admonition and learning. It is all equally inspired. We can trust that which is written for our learning in Genesis as much as that which is written in Revelation. But all of it is not written to us as members of the body of Christ. Therefore, why must Timothy divide? He must divide because part of the Scripture is written directly to him, to us as members of the body of Christ. Dispensational truth proves that God does not teach the same truth to all men in all dispensations. In other words, the truth in other dispensations is not a pattern for me whereby I may be saved. Look in your Bible, please, to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, and look in chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy 1, and notice verse 15. And this is a faithful saying, how worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Then Paul in the physical, Paul in his person, was a pattern of God's grace. He's a pattern of the saving grace of Almighty God. In other words, Paul was not, he wasn't serving the Lord. He was fighting against the Lord. He was persecuting the saints. He was a murderer and so forth. And God saved him out on the road to Damascus. The light shined round about him. He fell to the dirt, and the voice from heaven said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest, and so forth. And Paul was saved on that day. Now, the whole thing is that Paul not only is a pattern to people, but the epistles of Paul are made a pattern to people. You must understand what I'm saying now. I'm saying to you that dispensational truth proves that God does not teach the same truth to the same people in all dispensations. It's different in different dispensations. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Well, the form of sound words that Timothy heard of Paul, the word form is the same word as pattern in 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. Paul said, in effect, that he was to be a pattern for them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Believe on Christ, that is. I'm saying unto you, the pattern for the believer in the dispensation of grace is the epistles of Paul. It's the form of sound words that Paul refers to in 2 Timothy 1:13. As if that wasn't enough, as we mentioned last week in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. He said, Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. But that isn't all. He says in verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that the Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. There can be no doubt about this. Dispensational truth proves that God does not teach the same truth to all men in all dispensations. Dispensational truth is for the difference in doctrine in dispensations. In fact, Bible truth is always true in any dispensation. Now get the picture. Bible truth is always true in any dispensation. But truth for one dispensation must not be taught or used for truth in another dispensation. For to force the truth out of one dispensation and try to make it truth for another dispensation could place upon people a burden that they need not be under. It could deceive them into believing salvation is one thing when it is another, and so forth and so on. Therefore, Timothy is told to rightly divide the word of truth. Why, we know that people consistently refer to the Old Testament Scripture as compared to the New Testament Scripture. Therefore, people do believe in dividing the Bible. If I come across the board after the crucifixion here, I could come here with the book of Acts. Then I could put here Romans and put through Philemon here, and then put out here the book of Hebrews through Revelation out here. Now, all truth remains true in any dispensation. Just because I rightly divide the word of truth does not mean that that makes something that was back here under the law become untrue why the dispensation of the law, which is given to Israel, is just as true today as it was when it was given. But it is not true to you that are listening to my voice. And you that are listening to my voice do not obey all the doctrine of that Old Testament scripture back there. Turn in your Bible, please, to Deuteronomy. And look in Deuteronomy chapter 5. In Deuteronomy, and notice in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and notice in verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thine on and on and on. Now there is no doubt about it. You that are listening to my voice, you do not keep that passage to the nth degree. You do not observe that to the nth degree, and you know that that is true. Why, there are numerous passages that were given under the law back there that is true for the dispensation of the law, but it is not true for today in the dispensation in which we live. Timothy had the scriptures. All scriptures equally inspired by God. Timothy was told to divide the scriptures. Why must he divide? Because the truth for one dispensation certainly might not be true for another dispensation and bring confusion and pain and misery to the people in that dispensation if a man tried to teach it to people. That's why there's so much confusion today. Why, there are people that are trying to preach salvation in the dispensation of the grace of God when they're taking that salvation out of another dispensation. And that won't work. It'll only bring confusion. The word dispensation, we tried to show last week, is a good word. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:17 that he was given, in other words, he refers to the dispensation of the gospel. Then there is a dispensation of the gospel. That dispensation of the gospel would have begun at the appearing of Jesus Christ, when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. He appeared brighter than the sun, and he gave Paul a ministry at that time. Turn in your Bible, please, and look in Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, verse 15. I said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Notice the word, now I send thee. And Paul is quoting out of Acts 9 in the passage. Verse 18, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Well, I know that the gospel dispensation had to begin at that point. How do I know that? Because Paul is sent forth with a message at that time that will turn the people from darkness to light and get forgiveness of sins for them. What is that? It's the gospel of Christ. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians, and notice 1 Corinthians 15, and in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. In other words, the gospel referred to in 1 Corinthians 15 is that gospel whereby the Corinthians in Acts 18 got saved. Now look in verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, I know then that the gospel dispensation began with Paul's salvation in Acts chapter 9, and I know that it ends at the appearing of Jesus Christ at the rapture of the church according to 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Two judgments there. The judgment seat of Christ at his appearing, which is the rapture where we're concerned. Why, the Bible said the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad. Well, then I know there is a judgment to take place at the appearing of the Lord. I know that the Lord appeared unto the Apostle Paul brighter than the sun, and saved the Apostle Paul, and sent him forth at that time to preach forgiveness of sins, and I know that he didn't preach it through water baptism. Why? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Therefore, I know that the gospel Paul preached can't be the gospel of the circumcision, which you find in Mark 16 and Acts chapter 2, and it matters not what people tell you. Just believe what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? Look at it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Well, then Paul's ministry could not have included repent and be baptized for remission of sins. How do I know that? For Christ sent him not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And I don't care about all the screaming and yelling and hooping and hollering about taking the passage out of context. That's what people want to do to you when you show them a truth, if it goes against the grain with them. Well, folks, just look at the verse in its context, read it in its context, and then match it with Mark chapter 16 and Acts chapter 2. In Mark 16, Jesus said, Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. But Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Well, Paul's gospel didn't include water baptism, and to say that it did is to say Paul lied in 1 Corinthians 1:17. Then I know there is a difference in dispensations there. Paul is given the dispensation of the gospel for the Gentiles. We must rightly divide the word of truth. In fact, for the business, turn in your Bible, please, and look in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11. In Romans 11, verse 11. Romans 11, verse 11. I say then, have they, context is Israel, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Come to verse 13. I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, so forth and so on. Go to chapter 15, Romans chapter 15, verse 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. Then Paul himself is given a dispensation, and that dispensation is to the Gentiles, as in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, notice verse 1, For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of you, of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, on and on and on. There is no doubt about it. Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Paul is given the dispensation to the Gentiles. Paul is given the gospel to the Gentiles, and he calls it my gospel. In Romans chapter 2, verse 16, he says it is my gospel. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25, he said it is my gospel. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, he said, Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. But the word is not bound, and I can say to you today, if you believe the gospel of Christ, if you believe the gospel which is preached by the Apostle Paul, you shall suffer persecution. Who will you suffer persecution from? From denominationalists. You'll suffer persecution from those that believe in baptizing babies to wash away their original sins. You will suffer persecution from those that believe in Acts 2:38 as the salvation for this age. They believe in repentance and water baptism for remission of sins. You will also suffer persecution from those that believe in following the Lord in believers' baptism, and on and on and on. If you believe in the dispensation of the grace of God, and you believe that Paul was given that dispensation, and you believe that Paul was given the gospel for that dispensation, and you believe that dispensation is for the Gentiles in this age, then those that are denominationalists today are going to cause you to suffer persecution. They're going to put you down. They're going to call your name. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to scorn you and talk about you to the back and rip you up one side and down the other. I believe this Bible means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it, and I challenge you to prove otherwise. Timothy had the Scripture. Timothy believed that all Scripture was equally inspired. Timothy was told to divide the Scriptures. Why do you not? And why do you argue with it when people say you ought to rightly divide the Word of Truth? Timothy knew that he must divide, and where must he divide? Well, he obviously had to divide off the dispensation of the gospel. He had to divide off the fact that Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles, and that Paul was given the gospel of the Gentiles. Paul was given the dispensation of the Gentiles, but that isn't all. He knew that Paul laid the foundation for the church where the Gentiles are concerned, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm glad that you listened today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me say to you that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, that you might be justified. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. Everything has been done that need be done to get you saved. Receive Christ right now and be saved. Thank you for listening. Until next time, good day.